This is Austin from The Undertaking, and you're listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Welcome to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. This week, Austin Visser, frontman for Solid State Records band The Undertaking, joins the podcast. When Austin and I had chatted, the band had just released their debut full-length, Funeral Psalms, an album that surprised me. You'll hear Austin and I chat about music and listening to records versus singles. Austin also chats about the influence of POD, the long trajectory of The Undertaking, finding his vocal style, and being inspired by the Psalms to reflect on 2020. This chat was a lot of fun, and I felt like I was making a friend in the moment. So I hope you guys enjoy my chat with Austin Visser of The Undertaking.
I'm a fan of the podcast because we actually played with Comrades in 2019. And so when we were kind of digging into like what their deal was and stuff, I checked out the podcast that you did with Laura. So that's like, I've been following you guys ever since. So.
Oh, nice. Cool. Thanks a lot. Where are you? Where are you currently located?
We're in San Diego. I'm actually in my office. I work at a church. So.
Oh, nice.
I'm hanging out in the office.
that's fun. Stealing office hours.
Of course. Well, dude, church, it's a church, man. We office hours kind of don't really mean much.
They don't stop. Yeah. What do you do at the church?
I'm actually a pastor. So I'm a, it's a church called North Coast Church, and we have, video venues in different campuses. So I'm a campus pastor at one of our spots, and I oversee like our small groups and life groups. And then I come from a construction background. So I actually do most of like our facilities and maintenance stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if you've been in the church world or whatever, but you kind of just wear like a bunch of different hats.
Yep. Well, did you grow up out in California?
Yeah, dude, I've been San Diego my whole life.
And oh, nice.
Because of that, I'm probably never leaving.
That's cool. What was growing up like for you?
So here in San Diego, sorry, I gotta take my mask off. Growing up in San Diego is awesome, dude. I mean, and so we're up in North County, San Diego, and it's a rad place called, we're in Escondido, San Marcos area, and it's just like a nice little town. My parents own a construction company. I work with them with that sometimes. And so, it's a good family. I mean, San Diego is a dope city. And I don't know if you ever spent time here, but I love it. Never going to move away. And it's kind of, I mean, not in like an arrogant way, but it's kind of that reminder of when you go vacation somewhere else, you come back home and you're like, oh, this is like a good place to be, you know?
Yeah, I get that. What got you into music?
My family kind of just always had music going on. You know, I'm 33. I'll be 34 in May. And, my mom, so I was born in like the late 80s. My mom was a jazzercise instructor. So there was always just like 80s pop going on in our house. And then I have two older sisters. So then we're just constantly, you know, we got like Michael Jackson on. And then my sisters got into grunge music. So, and then like Alanis Morissette, like one of her tapes was just like always in the car. And then one of my biggest regrets, to be completely candid, is that I like cried my way out of piano lessons when I was six.
Oh, no.
And I hated it. And I like refused to play. And then my mom was like, well, screw this. I'm not going to like pay for piano lessons if you're not going to participate. But then I ended up picking up the tenor saxophone in fifth grade when, you know, it's time to start playing music at school. So then through junior high and high school, I played the tenor saxophone. And then at some point kind of picked up a bass guitar because I was like, yeah, saxophone's like not like one. I wasn't like very good. And then if you don't mind me keep going, like I then picked up acoustic guitar. I knew a couple chords. So I started like leading worship at churches and stuff. And I mean, I don't play guitar now because I'm not a good musician. And so at some point you kind of just learned how to yell into a microphone and make that work. But yeah, music was always kind of a big thing in our family. We were always singing and playing, and that's basically everybody's story in our band. Is music's kind of always just been a part of our story, which is so cool, man. Music is like such a unique experience when you're really feeling a song and stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, I get that. I was talking to someone today and I said, yeah, if it wasn't for music, I'd have no friends.
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's such a community around it, and that's like the hardcore scene, man. The community that we have in playing shows and all the bands that we play with and stuff. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah. What got you into like hardcore and punk and more underground extreme music?
For sure, dude. POD, man. So my trajectory is always hilarious because I grew up with like the early like Disney freaking music stuff. So it's like Britney Spears and NSYNC and all those like early pop people. And then you slowly kind of unveil to heavier stuff. And POD was super big in San Diego when I was growing up. So then got into POD, and they always played with NIV and Dogwood here in San Diego. So there was like a rad little hardcore community here. And so then it was an easy transition from POD to Dogwood to NIV. That leads you down like the Face Down path and just got super into some of those bands. And then in high school, I obviously in San Diego, Azalea Dying was massive.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we got like super into Azalea Dying, and we're going to their shows at all the venues around here. And that just kind of leads into all those like old school solid state bands and stuff. So yeah, like my gateway, I would say, is POD, but there's a lot of influences there.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what was your trajectory for playing in band? If you were like band geek playing saxophone into like, well, maybe I'll play bass guitar. Like at what point were you like into bands?
Yeah. It's such a fascinating question. And my experience is probably very different than other people, because I went to a small Christian high school here in Escondido called Calvin Christian. And like you did everything. So I played basketball, I played baseball, I also played music. And so I know that there was sometimes like a very distinct line between the two, like, I guess genres or like cliques at school.
Yeah.
And I always kind of did both. And then, yeah, just doing jazz band and school band, you start to realize like, okay, a guitar, like, what does that look like? You start seeing Blink 182 playing these like Fenders that are super low, and you're like, oh, this looks cool. And so that's actually what it really ties into our band right now, that Keith Butzko, our guitarist, and then Brent Jasper is the drummer. We started playing music together when we were in junior high. And so Keith and I had like a Green Day ripoff, like punk band in eighth grade. And then we just started, we didn't know how to play metal or hardcore, but we just started covering other bands. So that was like one of the first iterations of like The Undertaking, was a cover band called Hope at Half Mast X. Like it's cliche hardcore, which is, it's a joke. And Hope at Half Mast, and we freaking love that name. And so we started that as a cover band, and then like slowly started writing our own stuff. And then that's kind of when we made The Undertaking for the first time. But then obviously you go to college, and we started families and careers. And so we kind of pressed pause on playing all that stuff. So.
Yeah. Was it always called The Undertaking from early on, outside of like the early after, you know, Hope at Half Mast?
Kinda. And that. Kinda. So I was in a couple different bands here and there. So Brent went to college in Michigan. I went to college in San Diego in then during that time, we kind of just started all doing different stuff. The undertaking was is kind of a through line. It always kind of came back to it. So in 2018, when we got the band back together and Keith and Brent come back, we get Johnny and James to join. It was kind of like, hey, what is this project called? And it was very much a consensus of like, yeah, let's create the undertaking again, but really push it this time. And so like all things considered, it's a very different band, but yeah, the core, the history is there, which is really cool.
That's cool. Where did that name initially come from?
I have no idea. honestly, I have no idea. And so there was four of us in the iteration of the undertaking when we first started. And I think it was just like, let's try to find something kind of dour and kind of serious. And then let's throw the exclamation point on it so that it's not like too self-serious. But that's kind of the beauty of it is to a certain extent, the name kind of doesn't mean anything, except it means everything. And so that's the hilarious part for us is when we announced with Solid State, some people were like, I don't know, I don't like the band name. And we're like, yeah, we don't either. But like, it is what it is, you know?
It's so funny. How many people like pick a band name and then they're like 20 years into their career and you're like, yeah, this band name sucks.
Yeah, well, at that point you could just like overthink it.
Yeah.
The band, who cares what the band's called? Like, I don't know. I could get fired up about it. Anyways, yeah. So we have honestly no idea. It might have been the singer at the time, a guy named Ben, might have been the one to throw it out there, but we're not really sure where that tracks down to. But we'll give credit to Ben.
That's funny. What got you guys back together in 18 to play?
Dude, a freaking mix of just We pressed pause. I had kids. So I have three kids. Johnny, the guitarist, has two. We all have careers. We all have jobs. And so I think a lot of us had stopped playing music like as a passion. But then in 2018, I share Johnny's office is next to mine.
Oh, nice.
And we were every day watching the last Warped Tour just trek across the country, and every day these bands are posting pictures and you're just like, oh my gosh, we got to do this. And for me and my story, I thought I retired from heavy music when I played in a band right before we had our first son. And so that was like 7 years ago. I thought I was done. And so we played a couple cool shows and I was like, hey, that's a good way to go out. I'm done. And then just the realization that there was a huge hole in each of our like lives that was music. And we tracked down when we released Funeral Songs, we kind of went down like the nostalgia trail and we tracked down the text messages. And so one, it's Brent, Keith and I in a text thread just saying, hey, can we jam? Can we try to just do something? And then we all kind of said like, yeah, let's meet up on a Monday night and do what we can do. And then that's when I said, hey, can I introduce you guys to Johnny and get him to come? So then I walk over and I'm like, hey, like this old guitarist and old drummer from an old band, we're going to get together on a Monday night here in July. And do you want in? And he's actually from Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
So he played in some hardcore bands back when he was in high school, moved out to California in college. And so he had the same story where he hadn't played heavy music in forever. And then it just, The joke for us is, so careers, adult, like we're adults, we have careers, we have kids. There's this agenda that I had typed up of like, okay, what are we doing? What are our influences? What do we want to write? And then I'm just like, hey, let's take this very serious and commit to Monday nights for the next like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't work out, we'll pull the plug on this thing and no, nothing lost. And then at that point, it just got very serious. And we wrote the first songs, which are the Scavengers EP, started to record those because we needed to play shows. We needed music to play shows. So we're like, frick, let's record some demos. And then that ended up being like accidentally becoming our EP that we released. So it's kind of crazy. It was a whirlwind of just a couple texts and then boom, we're next thing you know, like a month later, we're in the studio recording some stuff.
That's awesome. What was the initial inspiration behind the sound, especially on Scavengers, which is different from Funeral Psalms?
So Scavengers is a unique beast, and we haven't really talked about this in depth. Those are a lot of songs that they're so it's called the Scavengers. It's called Scavengers because we literally pick the bones off of old songs and like freshens them up for us to just kind of be like, this is kind of our style. And so Scavengers was written in like 2010, maybe 2011. And I say written, like the songs are very different than what they were, but that was much more like a rock and roll feel that we kind of spruced up to make it hardcore. And then basically what we did with those is use that as like a launching point to write our singles, which we recorded all on our own, About Ghosts, Witch Rituals, and Who's Afraid of 11 Wolves, which was then kind of us toying around with kind of the evolution of our sound, which is very much just influenced from any Face Down, Ferret, Solid State, any of the Victory bands from like 2002 to 2008. Like when we were in high school and college, that's very much what we're influenced by. And so that's The Chariot, Norma Jean, Every Time I Die, Under Oath, like any of those bands that were big, and they're still big now, but those were definitely very influential to us. And so we kind of combined all that. And the beauty behind it, I can keep rambling about it all day, but the beauty of it is our styles and our influences are very different. So Johnny's going to come from more of like a singer songwriter, and his hardcore influence is going to be something more of like an As Cities Burns. And then Keith's is going to be more Dillinger, but rooted in like Led Zeppelin. And so then when we combine those two guitar styles together, it creates like a real fun, kind of algorithm that we process our songs through.
Yeah, for sure. How'd you guys get connected with Dave Quiggle to do the artwork for those singles?
Yeah, man. Dave's a legend. I adore that guy. And so he's my tattoo artist. So I've known Dave for years now. He's up in Temecula. So in San Diego, about 20 minutes north of us is a town called Temecula. And that's where he's been tattooing and living. That's where Face Down kind of first started to run out of. And so he's been here forever. And on a whim one day on his Instagram, this is years and years ago, he posted like, I have an opening for a tattoo. Does anybody want it? And I emailed him and I was like, yeah, dude, I'd love to hop on this. And that kind of started our relationship. And so when we're starting the undertaking, we're like starting to talk about this EP and we're like, Frick, like we got to get artwork and what should we do? And because I had this relationship with Dave, I'm like, yo, do you guys mind if I reach out to Quiggle and see if he'd be interested in putting together a cover for us? And we thought for sure he'd say no, because like he's freaking dope. And he's like said yes. And we're like, oh, whoa. So he did the Scavengers thing. And then that just started the relationship where then he followed that up with those three singles. And yeah, we'll keep using him as long as he keeps answering our phone calls. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have like get a tattoo from Dave on my bucket list of things I want to done.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I'm honestly at this point, I'm like covered in Quiggle tattoos.
Nice.
He's so good. Yeah.
How'd you guys get connected with Solid State? Was that like something you always wanted to be on Solid State because of your background or?
Well, that's the joke. And I know Jeremy from Earthgrown, if you ever talk to him, he tells a story about how they would like go, when they started their band, they'd be like, yeah, we'll sign to Solid State. And that was always kind of our joke too, is when we started this thing, it was like, well, maybe we'll end up on Solid State. Never, ever, ever, ever in our wildest dreams thought that that would come true. How that started is Joey Bradford, the guitarist of The Used, is our manager. And so the relationship started with him. He put out an Instagram. So this is a great story for people in bands to just never be afraid to reach out and like ask questions and like put your pride aside to just reach out to people. The reaching out to Quiggle ended up with him doing our artwork, and two, Joey posted on Instagram, hey, do any bands want me to master their songs? And so I just hit him up and I'm like, hey, we're about to put out this song called About Ghosts. Do you want to master it? And he said yes. So he mastered About Ghosts, Witch Rituals, and then he wasn't able to master Who's Afraid of 11 Wolves because he was on tour with the Used. But we still stayed in contact. And so the way that we established our relationship with Joey was just kind of getting to know him through that. And then we would pick his brain anytime we had a big decision. So we're about to release Who's Afraid of 11 Wolves. We started to get some attention from some distribution sites, and just some more people were kind of like, oh, this is kind of a cool sound. What are you guys going to do with it? So we threw that across Joey's table of saying like, hey, what should we do? And he said, kind of pause, like, don't do anything. Let me reach out to Solid State and a couple other labels. And I kid you not, within 2 hours of that phone call, we're setting up a time to talk. 24 hours later, I'm on the phone with Adam Scatula. If you ever get a chance to chat with Adam, he's like one of the coolest dudes. But then 24 hours later, I'm on the phone with Adam and we're just chatting about this. And it's at the end of the conversation, it's like, yeah, let's move forward and figure out how to get you guys signed. And so I hang up the phone and I call all my guys and I'm like, you're not going to believe like what just happened. And so that was May 2020. So almost a year ago. And then very quickly we set out to write funeral songs. And then August 2020, we were in the studio at Joey's place here in Vista, California. It's called the Vibatorium. We are here recording our full length. And then, 9 months later, it's out. And so it's been a wild, wild freaking ride for us.
That's amazing. We
absolutely love it. And we're so here for it because it's like a dream come true. But yeah, super crazy.
That's awesome. Did COVID impact the recording or release structure in any way?
Yeah, because it wouldn't have, none of this would be possible without COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because Joey should have been on tour. Because Joey wasn't on tour, he was able to finish his studio and then he also had time to record it and mix it. And then we sent it off to our buddy of ours, Hiram, to master it. Because of COVID, we weren't playing shows. We had more time to write. And so that's how the Wolf song, as soon as COVID stopped everything, we set out to start writing and then everybody just kind of kept writing. So we had a library of songs that we were prepared to go in the studio with. And so on one hand, COVID impacted us because we couldn't play shows, but it also opened up this avenue for us to, for all this to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if Solid State, because of COVID, then we're like looking for a band to sign.
Yeah.
But if COVID hadn't happened, I don't think that the specific set of circumstances happened that led us to getting signed. And so, you know, such a bizarre way, obviously a terrible year, racial unrest, political unrest, people getting furloughed, COVID, just terrible stuff.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're like extremely grateful for the opportunity that we had.
Yeah.
To kind of make some moves during that time, which is so cool.
That's really awesome. Yeah. So Funeral Psalms came out this past Friday. I remember when Solid State announced the band and I heard the single, I was like, okay, that's cool, but you know, whatever. But listening to the record, I was listening to it again this morning on my run and it strikes different as a cohesive package than like the single did, right? Like I think, the sound and vibe overall changes when you listen to it as a record. And so I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. So, which, cool. which I would say is listen to the whole record and not just the singles or 30 seconds of a clip on Spotify or whatever.
Well, dude, that's the hard part is when I don't want to come off as critical or bitter about any of this. It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
Solid State announces the teaser that, hey, we have a new band coming out tomorrow. And it's 7 seconds of a song. Mm-hmm. And people were so quick to make a judgment call on what we were and what we sounded like. And that was hard.
Yeah.
And then the one single comes out, the second single comes out, third single comes out, and people think that they know exactly what we are. And all that to say is like, yeah, we're very proud of the 11 songs that we put out. And we believe it's a body of work that should be listened to in the specific order that we put out, which I say that completely understanding Spotify has kind of ruined our brain on how we listen to music. And that's okay. But yeah, for you to say like, yeah, I listened to the whole thing and it really makes sense. I mean, that gets me pumped up because there are songs that are in a specific place for a specific reason in a specific order because it does different things for you either emotionally or just viscerally in how you hear that song. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Like Plague just like took me by surprise, the clean vocals on there. And I was like, oh, this is fresh. And I dig this.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that's the palate cleanser because the first two songs, Apocalypse and No Friends, come out and they're punching you in the face, and boom, boom, and they're really aggressive. And then specifically how No Friends goes into Plague is that No Friends actually had when we were writing it, it had an additional breakdown at the end, but we cut it off, so it has this tension that ratchets up and up and up and up, and then we actually never fulfill that tension. Mm-hmm. And so that song to then end and go straight into Plague, which has clean vocals, and a lot of people have said like, oh, that's a very left turn. And it's like, yeah, sure, but then that song ends up kind of meandering back to just chaos and heavy. But the beginning of that song attached to the end of No Friends is very intentional.
It's cool. I really dig it, and I liked it more as a whole complete record than I thought I would going into it.
Yeah, dude.
Which I love. I love being surprised and be like, oh, this is amazing. And I wasn't expecting to dig it based off one song I heard. It sucks the way we take music now. It really does. I'm curious about your vocal style. Is there like a specific influence in your vocal take? Because it in like at times reminds me of Refused or Snapcase or like the first two Comeback Kids records.
Vocals are such a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Especially in our genre. I know, music wise, because it's so easy to try to replicate or try to imitate somebody else's style, right? And so one of the things that I learned from the very beginning is that I can't do what Corey from Norma Jean, Jeremy from Earthgrown, Keith from Every Time I Die. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so then I like very quickly just realized like I got to do my own thing. So my journey with vocals, which thank you for those comparisons. The Comeback Kid one is always kind of fun. That was accidental. Like at some point I realized like, oh, there's some Comeback Kid in my tone, which is so dope because they're like, they kill it.
Oh, yeah.
But we were in this kind of rock and roll band at some point in college. And one time in the studio, I transitioned from bass to vocals at the time. And I was singing and I'm not the best singer, but then in the studio, I kind of play around with this yell. And in the moment, the three of us in the band were like, oh crap. Like that kind of just came out of me. And I like kind of didn't know what to do with it. But how I did it is I attribute it a lot to the Come Now Sleep as Cities Burn album, which is one of my favorite of all time. It's such a good album. But the way that Cody takes his falsetto and then kind of pushes through into that higher register. So that's kind of how I create that, where it's very much like a guttural, visceral sound that's coming out. But what I'm doing is I'm setting a melody and I'm setting a note. But then I'm just like pushing through that. And it's a little bit hard to maintain because it's very taxing on my body, which is part of the fun. Cause then when we're getting up into practice and show shape and stuff, for us to be able to go and perform these songs, how they actually feel and to put the physicality of our band behind it as well, it's very rewarding for us to be like, yes, hell yeah, we did it. Like that was hard and emotional and taxing for us, but we were able to do it. So for me, like, the fun, especially working with Joey and then Johnny, we have some melody gurus in our band, and Joey from a producer's aspect was really good at just throwing like melodies and harmonies at me, but then like taking that melody and throwing my like harshness on it kind of creates like a new tone, which is cool. But it comes down to me just trying not to replicate what other are doing, because then you're trying to imitate somebody and then I'm just going to be a bad copy of another band. That's the last thing I want, you know.
Is there something you're trying to say lyrically on this record, or any themes that run through? Like there are some cool lyrics on Plagues and Holy Smokes, and everything worked out just fine. Like, there's some really cool lines and lyrics. So is there like a theme or something you wanted to say on this album?
Yeah, man. Thanks for asking. That's a good question. And so for us, 2020 was, this was an album that we wrote in 2020. And it's like I said earlier, there's political unrest, there's racial unrest, there's people losing their jobs and furloughs and 250,000 people dying in the United States, just chaos. And so a lot of that, for me, was then bottled up in an album that's kind of has some frustration and some anger. And depending on your faith and beliefs or whatever, that could either be pointed towards God, it could be pointed towards an institution, workplace, family, whatever, wherever you want to direct that. But for me, what I tried to accomplish was essentially taking David's approach in the book of Psalms of how he is like angry with God and yelling at God. And God is like, yes, give this to me. Like, I want your frustration and I want this relationship. That's kind of what I took to Funeral Psalms, is I'm just crying out like my frustrations, either to one, the universe, or to God, or whatever. I don't care how you, wherever you apply it, please apply it how you like. But to anybody listening, like, I can't tell you how to consume our music, which is also very exciting. But for me, it's like just crying out and just saying like, hey, like, I'm frustrated, I'm angry at these situations. And there's a lot of that comes through. My wife and I have had a journey through postpartum depression and anxiety. And so that's been a big part of our story. So there's a lot of themes that wrestle with anxiety and depression and what that feels like to be in the midst of that. And then also just conquering that and kind of moving forward, because like, the album ends on a song that says, and everything worked out just fine. Cause like, at some point, like, we're just going to kind of keep moving forward. And we have to keep moving, you know? Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. And I guess that ties into the name of the record, Funeral Psalms.
Yeah. Kind of like a modern day psalm approach to our relationship with God and people.
That's awesome. You said you guys are married, you have careers, you're parents. Does that affect your, I mean, nobody's touring right now anyways, but does that affect your ability to get out there on the road? Or were you like, we're on solid state, like, eventually we're going to go out and be, you know, road warriors at some point?
Yeah, road warriors is never going to be something we can sustain. And so when we signed to Solid State, we actually signed as like a studio band. So there's really no expectations for us to tour.
Okay, cool.
But the way that we're wired, the way that we're even just in the trajectory from 2018 till now, the trajectory that we're on, we just kind of all gas, no brakes, head first kind of thing. But with that, we also have to be respectful to our jobs and our family. So what we're going to try to do is either weekend runs where we're going from like Thursday to Monday, or 1 to 2 week runs. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what pops up. It's very complicated to try to set up a tour right now, because most of the tours that are getting announced are stuff, it's stuff that got planned like last year.
And
so there's a lot of bands that kind of miss that first run of shows that are coming out. So we're kind of kicking tires to see what that looks like for us to either one, start playing shows locally around San Diego, and then we'll start kind of expanding that circle to Arizona and up the coast. And then eventually we'll see if it makes sense for us to get onto the East Coast. Cause dude, we're so desperate, to play shows.
Yeah.
And, one funny, bizarre, and like, sucky part about us announcing now is like, few people have experienced our live show. And the last thing I want to tell people is, oh my gosh, our show is insane and we're crazy. But like, we just don't believe in standing still and like constantly jumping off the stage and having fun jumping on people and jumping around and stuff. And so for us, a huge part of what makes us is the live aspect of it. And so the fact that we haven't really been able to share that with people is so heartbreaking. And so we can't wait to just get out there and show people what we can do. Cause I think it's going to be a really fun experience for people.
Yeah. Does being just a studio band and not like a band that's going out and touring relieve some of maybe the pressure of like, all right, we need things to open up to get on the road, or we need to make money and promote this in such a way, just like, this is not our career. Not the way we're supporting our families, in the way, you know, a younger band might be like, this is our job and we got to make money doing it.
Yeah, dude. Great question. It changes everything. There are no expectations. And to a certain extent, it like weaponizes us to just go out there and do whatever we want. Like, we can do this if we want to, we don't if we don't want to. And so there's a little bit of like making really wise decisions, because when we make a good decision, it has to be something that's worthwhile for our families, for us, our work, all that kind of stuff. And there's a little bit of like we're like a wild card in the sense that there are no expectations on what we do. So we're just going to freaking like, I said it before, the pedal to the metal, like, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go as hard as we can. Cause maybe this ends next year and the undertaking on, like, you know, hopefully not. Hopefully we continue to do this for as long as we can, but
yeah.
We're going to go out swinging if it's a regardless.
That's awesome. You guys planning or thinking about any sort of live stream or anything to promote the record? Or I see you guys have a Twitch where you're doing like video games or something.
Yeah, when we're not practicing on Monday nights, we'll play like old school video games and just have fun. We're trying to kind of get our personalities out there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Live stream is something we have definitely avoided up to this point, because our sound just doesn't translate to it, to a computer screen. That said, we did record two songs. We've been putting out this documentary kind of mm-hmm. thing. We've been making fun of it being a making of documentary. We recorded two songs when we were in the studio to film some of that stuff. And so that's actually coming out, I think, in May, later this month. So I think you'll see that on like a Metal Injection live stream. The Drowned Gods just did it. Another band on Solid State. And so you'll see two songs of us playing that are on the album, O Negative and Wrenches. But then the hope for us is to get out there and start playing like real live shows. God forbid this silence lasts for a moment, so I can clear my thoughts and catch my breath. I'm still alive in my own head, and you're already trading away pieces of me. Is it so much to ask for you to leave me alone for just 1 second? Maybe I am a corpse.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our theme song was written and composed by the legendary Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes and give the show a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, click on the Patreon link at asthestorygrows.com. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening.